Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday right in the middle of the week, June the 13th, 2018. 15 coming up on 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and we will be here up until 2 o'clock today. Now, in hour number one, as we do each and every Wednesday from 12:15 until 1 p.m., we are joined by psychic Barbara Wagner, who takes your phone calls at 740-383-9944. Any topic you want to discuss, somebody maybe who's no longer here. Love life is always a popular one, but we have had some calls recently about the future. What is in store for my future? So if you have anything you'd like to ask, 740-383-9944 for the next 45 minutes, right on up until 1 o'clock. And again, we do it every Wednesday from 12:15 until 1 o'clock. And if the line's busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep trying back. Barbara, it's good to see you.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, good. It's not summer yet. We've still got a few more days.
No, we're getting there.
We got eight days till summer?
Yeah. I can't wait.
Do you think it'll be a warm summer, or do you think we'll continue in this pattern we've been in?
You know, I'm not a weather forecaster, but I certainly hope we get more sun. I'd like to see it dry up a little bit and give people's gardens a chance to get going. We did some planting this weekend, so.
You know, where have the mosquitoes gone?
You know, that's so weird. I was just talking to my husband about that, and the West Nile. Seems like 2 years ago that was really huge. So it'll be interesting to see if anything comes out about that this summer. I don't know.
I would just, we have been so wet weather-wise
right.
Since the beginning of May, and I haven't had any run-ins with mosquitoes.
Right. And you know, it's been cooler, so maybe that helps, right?
I don't like a terribly hot summer, though, anyway.
No, well, yeah. But that's our time to enjoy it, right?
Well, I mean, I'm good for 70 up through 80.
There you go.
But once we get over 80, that's just too hot.
You know, it's only 72 degrees in heaven always.
Oh, heaven has a temperature?
That's a joke.
Oh, no. I thought maybe it does.
No, but that's kind of like the joke, you know. It's the perfect temperature in heaven.
Somebody told me that the temperature you're supposed to keep your house at all winter long is 68.
Wow.
There's no way.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people would be cold at that temperature.
Well, there's absolutely no way I could keep it at 68 degrees. That would be cold.
Right, right.
Maybe during the day when I'm up and moving around, but overnight.
Or if you're not home and you have pets that don't mind, right?
Well, and I didn't understand, because in the winter, if you're at 68 degrees, it's going to be 68 degrees.
Right.
Because it's cold outside. But in the summer, you don't set your air conditioning at 68 degrees. You set it in the 70s somewhere.
Right.
So I don't really understand what that's all about, but I don't think that was right.
That's interesting that they would say that. Maybe it had something to do with heating bills or something.
Well, I think it had something to do with health, if I remember right, because we did a lot of things on the flu. And that the warmer it is,
bacteria like
can. Well, that's why you just don't have kids in your house. That's true. That's why you do that, because kids will make you sick.
Yeah, or adults make kids sick too, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I think kids are carriers.
Well, you know, it's hard to do the hand washing all the time, and they're touching each other and each other's toys and things like that. So,
well, when I remember when I was right out of college and I was teaching, I was sick constantly.
Yeah.
Because it was, you go right into winter after
right.
the school year starts. And if you're not around kids at home, you get sick.
Right.
Because somebody in a room of 30 is going to be sick.
There you go.
Yeah. And you're going to catch something.
Right.
And they even they came up with that stuff, airborne, which I'm not even sure that works.
Yeah. I think it kind of depends on what your immunity level is, right? So I think it does for some people, and that's why they keep pushing it, and it's supposedly natural, you know, if you're missing those minerals or whatever, the zinc and things like that that are in that.
Last week, we did get some calls that had to do with people's future,
yes.
which I thought was interesting, because in all the books and movies we see, people don't really want to know about their future.
Right.
You know, don't show it to me. Don't show it to me. I don't know. Do you think there's a lot of angst in people worrying about what tomorrow is going to be?
There is. And that's why they want answers. So that's a really good point. Part of people not wanting to know their future is based on fear. You know, they're afraid of what certain outcomes might be, or they don't want to face certain things. They want to stay in denial and live for the moment, which is okay. Although, you know, nowadays you got to kind of plan a little bit financially for your future, or you're going to be in a tough spot. But I think people are afraid, and so that's why they don't want to know. For clarification purposes, when I talk about somebody's future, which I don't do a lot of, but, you know, for the purpose of the show, that's fine. The future is fluid, so there's many different paths that people can take based on their decisions. And the decisions of people around them also affect choices they make. So I may see something for you, and then something happens with a friend or a family member, and you get sidetracked, and off you go on a different path. And so then you're going to say, well, the psychic wasn't right, because, you know, she said this would happen. So just know it's just one possible outcome. A lot of times what I'm doing is validating choices people are already considering making.
Do we have free will? There's a constant discussion on that, because people usually say, well, yes, you do have free will to make your own choices. But then when somebody dies, they say, well, it must have been their time.
Right.
Well, I'm not sure which it is. Is it?
So those are two different concepts that I would need to split out. Bottom line, yes, we all have free will. We don't always exercise it because it can be difficult and painful emotionally, and we don't want to go through emotional pain, so we choose not to exercise our free will. Regarding death, there's a popular concept in metaphysics that talks about soul contracts. And so before you're born, you actually pick your parents, you know, and that's the location of where you're going to be born, and, you know, certain major highlights that'll happen in your life, and including what we call an exit point or your date of death. And along the way, there's exit points built in just in case. But the whole reason for a soul contract is based on what can I achieve for my soul growth here? You know, how can I become a more healthy, happy, and complete person, which doubles back into your soul growth? So when we're happy and we're feeling good, and that's soul growth. When we're sad and negative and feeling down, that takes away from our soul growth. So happiness has a way of building us up from the inside out.
I think a lot of choices are made based upon happiness, but I think it's a false happiness. I think it's something that is based on a choice you make, and that choice gives you some happiness, but it's temporary.
Right.
Because there's no way things can hold up forever.
Right. Okay. So, you know, that is a good point. For the purpose of people's understanding, though, for soul growth, happiness looks like love and feels like love. And loving acts and things that promote compassion and goodwill. And so when we are in a quote-unquote happy feeling state, we are more likely to show compassion and, you know, outwardly do things that help others.
What happens, because I would not think anybody would choose to be negative and volatile. Why do they get that way?
So generally it's trauma. Interactions with other people, you know, think about trying to do your best but never able to achieve it and constantly being knocked down, and eventually you just get wore down. And so that can take different forms for different people. Some people will just be depressed and go inward and hide. Some people will just function through the day and just kind of go through life and then their life ends. Other people, you know, things will trigger them into being a more aggressive state.
Why is it that certain people tend to bring out the aggressive side of others. I've noticed this. I like to pay attention to people anyway, because I think people are fascinating. And I have noticed that some people will be very volatile with another person. And that I've even heard that other person say, "Why are you so negative? Why are you so negative?" But they're not that way with everybody. It's just when they're around that person.
So that person, they may have resentments towards them. And they might also be triggered from something in their past or something they're lacking in themselves that the other person has. So that's a little bit of sour grapes.
Well, we talked about this earlier, mm-hmm. and this is where I'm seeing this is like mother and father, because mm-hmm. Father's Day is around the corner. Like, I know people who there's no way they could live with their mother. They, when they talk to their mother, it's negative, easily set off.
Right.
And sometimes the mother will think, well, geez, that person's just, my child is just so negative. But they're not that way in regular life. In their work, in their life, in their friendships, they're not that way. But there's something about that relationship that just brings out negativity.
So, yeah, you know, that's a super complex issue. When people are negative towards their mothers, sometimes it's because it's the only person they feel like they can be themselves with and just let everything spill out because they have to present a front to the rest of the world so that they're viewed in a certain way and judged positively. And so you take the brunt out on your mother. When people talk about their mothers behind their backs, and it's in a negative way, it can be things that they can't resolve face-to-face with their own mother. You know, it can be resentments from long ago that they've not given up and grown past and said, well, I was a kid, I'm an adult now. You know, and so I would urge people to think in terms of what do boundaries look like, what are healthy boundaries, and how do I implement them? And so you'll have less resentment with all people if you just have boundaries.
Well, here's why I think this is complex. Because I have known people, the parents would call it respectful. But the kids really didn't do it out of a place of fear. Even when they became adults, they just did not talk to their parents in a certain way.
Right.
But the bad part of what that usually breeds is kind of a dysfunctional relationship because you also never feel open enough to talk to them in a certain way.
Right.
I've always found the people who yell and argue, they're saying what they mean.
Right.
And they're getting a full picture, the mother and the father, even though they might not like it, they're not getting lied to. There's
right.
no facade.
Right.
That person doesn't turn around and, boy, go, you know, my mother is just, you know, 10 pounds of misery, because
right.
they've told them that.
Right.
They've already said it. The other person turns around, my mother's just awful, but would never say that to the mother. And sometimes that's where that anger's coming from, is because they would never say that to them.
Right. I agree with that. And it's important to remember that we're all just people, not just moms, dads, brothers, sisters. But, you know, if you can, we talked about this too, about detaching a little bit. And, you know, we're all just people and we all have faults and we all have good things. And, you know, so there's some forgiveness in there is a good thing. You know, some people, forgiveness is more about yourself than them because it's so messed up that you can't really go there. But I really truly think that when we start to see each other just as people and we can get on an equal footing, that helps restore some balance. So instead of a hierarchy, you know, see it more as peer-to-peer. You know, we're all adults now, so let's act like adults.
Well, and the interesting thing is, if you had a disagreement with somebody, you might get into a disagreement argument. But maybe it's because you do see your parents in a certain way, even if you disagree with what they're saying, you wouldn't say that to them.
Right.
Yeah, which I think is wrong. See, I'm with the Italians on this one. Just yell.
Get it out.
Everything right up to blows. No blows, but everything right up to that. Tell them, because then you really have no regret.
Right.
Because you told them you didn't suppress anything.
Right.
And suppression's bad.
It is.
Yeah. So if you feel like you need to be loud with your parents or tell them something, I think once you're an adult, I think it's okay to do that. Parents are people too. They've probably been angry in their life.
Right. I mean, obviously, in my opinion, I think it depends on what's going on, you know, versus how much you have to ratchet up. Most of the time, I would prefer to have a peaceful conversation, but that's because of my nature. You know, I would rather not yell and scream. I'd rather try to work it out. But I have a super good friend. That's their family. Man, if somebody's mad, they let the other person have it. The next day, they're fine.
That's it. Isn't it interesting how those screaming and yelling families and arguments, they're never personal.
Right.
It's right on to the next thing.
Right.
And they seem more open. Now it's, oh man, I never told my mother about this. And those are the people who seem to have the polite relationships.
Right, right, right.
And then when it does come out one day, then it's awful.
Yeah.
You know. So I think, because then you can never do anything to offend your parents.
I agree. I think, though, one word about, you know, ratcheting up is that some people go too far to where they can't calm down and it stays with them for a long time, and you don't want it to cross over. I mean, and you even said it, you don't want it to cross over into violence.
No.
You just want to be able to get it out and then have the other person say, wow, okay, let's process that. All right, you've been heard, got it, you know.
Well, and I don't put this all on the kid either, because I do know parents. It's very hard for parents, no matter how old their kids get, to see them as adults.
Right.
And that can create a friction,
right,
built in, because you're giving them an opinion and everybody else in the world treats you as an adult, but the parent can't take that opinion because in their eyes, that's a 5-year-old giving them this opinion.
Correct. Yeah. I agree with that a lot. That's a lot of what goes on.
Yeah.
You know, thinking they know better and not allowing you to live your own life and make your own choices and either reap the rewards or the consequences from those choices. And so there's different ways to handle that, obviously. You know, I mean, you can say, well, this is my opinion, but then don't be attached to an outcome. So if your adult child doesn't do what you ask them to or your opinion is, then you have to respect that they did make a choice. And that's just the way it is, as heartbreaking as that is sometimes.
Right on up to the nursing home. I think that the parents, they see the child as a child.
Right.
And then when the child makes a decision to put them in the nursing home, well, then you realize who really has the power at this point.
Right, right.
It's a balance shifter.
Right, exactly, exactly.
And you got to change.
You know, and it's also, this is also comes up when parents lose children, which is always horrible, no matter what age. But if you have an adult child that dies, you still hear, oh, that was my baby.
Oh, sure.
You know, and so that's a perfect example of the strength of the love bond. And then how do you love your child enough and trust your child enough to really go on and make some choices and, you know, let them see what life's all about, because they're not really ours. If you really believe the saying that they are gifted to us from God for a short time and then we let them go and they've got their wings, they've left the nest, they're on their own, you know, then you should follow through with that, right?
Well, it's something again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you'd like to talk to Psychic Barbara Wagner, please feel free to get in on the conversation on anything. 740-383-9944. She'll be here till 1 o'clock today. But a few weeks ago, when the story came out about the, 30-year-old guy who was still living with his parents, and the parents had to sue him to get him out of the house. Now, to me, everybody saw that story that this guy shouldn't be living there, he's not working, he's a deadbeat. That's what I heard. But to me, I'm not saying those things aren't true, they very well may be, but that the parents had to go to the point to get a lawyer and sue him, there's something already wrong with that relationship.
Right.
And it's not all on the child.
Right.
That the parents, while living with this child, had to bring a lawsuit against him.
Mm-hmm. It's so weird because I had something else on TV and I was going through the channels and I happened to stop and I was listening to him speak and he really felt like like a regressed adult, arrested development, I guess would be a good technical term to put on it. Because he made several comments about how his parents should still be helping him. They loaned him thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that he never repaid. He was really bitter that they didn't help him more and that they would keep his own child. But, you know, we don't know all the ins and outs on their end and what they went through trying to protect their grandchild. But he just seemed kind of spoiled, I guess, in a way. And I found it very interesting when I just kind of, like you said, you like to observe people. And I was doing the same thing, and I thought, this poor guy, you know, I mean, he has no concept of what really being an adult means and all that goes with it. And so, you know, how do you equip your children? What's the best way to equip your children and then trust that you've equipped them correctly?
But don't you think it would have been cheaper for the parents just to hire a locksmith than an attorney?
Yeah. Well, we don't know what they tried. But yes, I agree.
They own the home.
Right. I agree with what you're saying. Like,
I mean, even if he would have called the police.
Here's your notice.
Yes.
I mean, and that's what a lot of parents of drug addicts actually have to do. They have to do the same thing where they are just like, you can't come to my home anymore. You know, we've gone through the gamut. We've tried everything. Nothing's working. And I just can't have you stealing everything out of my house anymore. So you're not welcome here. And that's a really tough place to get to.
Well, and I also think how soon we forget, because I see this an awful lot with parents. They forget what it's like to be their kid's age.
Right.
And it is different times, and there are different things going on, and there may be different factors. This guy, there might be something psychologically wrong with him.
Right.
And I certainly don't think having his parents sue him is going to make that any better.
No, and he did talk about that, actually. He did say that he was deeply wounded.
There you go.
And by it. And I'm not sure those were his words, but he's entitled to that feeling, absolutely.
And one day he's going to be making decisions for them if they all live how they live.
Well, depending on legally what can be done and what can't be done. At that time, they might have other people, but I get your point.
Yeah, right? I think it's just a bad thing because a lot of people do hold grudges for a long time.
They do.
I don't think anybody really forgives. I really don't. I think they do, but I think it's you can't wipe it out of your mind.
Right, and you're not supposed to. Then that's not what forgiveness is, and so a lot of people do have a concept in their mind of what they think forgiveness is and what it should look like. And that's why they're against forgiving, which it's actually, I wish we could come up with a new word for it, like releasing, maybe, where you say, you know, I understand that we all had a part in the situation, including myself, and I'm going to release the other people and myself from that situation and understand that that's meant to be learned from. You know, what can I learn from my own behavior on that end? What could I do differently? And if another situation like this came up somewhere else in my life, and, you know, just release it with love and let it go, because otherwise, you know, it's just an exercise in futility.
Well, it's like marriage. In the early days of marriage, some people, oh, forget about that, or I told you so, or maybe we shouldn't have done it, we should have done it my way. It seems very trite in the beginning, but that will come back and get you a few years later. When things are not as new, when things are not going as well, it'll be brought up. Remember the time you did, because there'll be another trauma, and you'll say, remember when you did this, remember when you did that, remember when you did this. Well, there was really no forgiveness there. It was just, I'm going to push it to the back of my mind.
So actually, just as you were talking, the angels were piping in, and again, they were saying, you know, that's a power issue. Okay, so when you are constantly blaming someone else for something, you know, that is a power issue. And so it's a time when you didn't feel empowered. And so you're reminding the other person that they didn't empower you. It's up to you to empower yourself and to stand your own ground. And if you are complete and whole, then you don't need to dredge up the past and throw things up to another person. That's a sign of immaturity.
Well, I don't know, because I think some things are unforgivable.
Okay, so yes, I agree with that, and I know where you're going.
Yeah.
And again, they absolutely are. But how do you move on after it? So you don't always say, well, you need to overcome it, or you need to get over it, because it's just so bad. And it's not fair to ask somebody to do that that's been in such an extreme situation. And so my thing would be, again, this happened, but now I'm here. And I'm not part of that anymore.
Well,
that doesn't define me.
Like, I have heard a lot about, these questions come up a lot on our current event show on Friday. Could you forgive an affair? Now, there have been couples who stay together after an affair has happened. Now, the people will say they forgive it, but they really don't. They really don't. It's there in the back of their mind, and they become a little more skeptical. They do see the person a little differently. They might go along with it, and the marriage might continue, and maybe there won't be any other transgressions. But there's a change that happens, and I think that's the non-forgiveness.
So, you know, cheating is a topic that I would really be nice to have more of a psychological professional opinion on. Because I think that's inherently something in the person's makeup, you know, where they get a rush from it or they feel like they need it. And I think it depends on the situation, too. So there's people that are serial cheaters, right? And so no matter what, it doesn't matter who they're with or who they're making promises to, they're always going to do that. You know, and so those are the people that, you know, you got to kind of be careful of, because they will continue to do it in any relationship they're in, no matter what they say, no matter what they promise. So unless they're getting serious psychological help, you know, and they're working through those patterns, that's a tough one, right?
Well, and I think also forgiveness is a funny thing, because you don't think about it every moment. It's not like when somebody does something that you don't like or that you harbor. You don't really – harbor is a weird word, because you don't harbor it all the time.
Right.
It's not like it's in the forefront of your brain every day and you think about it every day. But something might cause it to come back into the brain.
So I'm going to switch the topic up just a little bit, but I'm going to expand on that. So – things happen to us in our lives, and then we file them away in our mental computer brain, right? And so when you're in other situations, you might start to feel uncomfortable and get triggered. And you're like, oh my gosh, you know, it's because I experienced this how many years ago? And that's one of the ways that your intuition is built. So people that are highly sensitive and intuitive and use their feelings, you know, to navigate through life, a lot of those things that they've kept in their data bank will come back up when they're in different situations and red flag them. So they might be around somebody who appears to be perfectly fine, and they're like, oh my gosh, I feel like that person is XYZ based on this other person in my past. They're not the same people, but I'm sensing behaviors or words or phrases or, you know, and so part of that is a reminder, right? Keep your eyes open and be aware and just watch that person's actions and see what they do.
Well, I notice, you brought it up earlier on, loss of a child.
Right.
Now, that, when it first happens, it's in your brain all the loss of anybody. When it first happens, it's there all the time.
Right.
You think about it constantly. You can't really move past it. But years go by, and it's not always in the forefront of your mind. But if there's a picture, if there's something that pops back into your brain, a lot of times you can still feel it's a sad moment for you.
Right, right. Just like if you hear a song from your high school days and then you start getting nostalgic about, you know, maybe the fun things you did as a high schooler or something, it's just a different pattern, but it's the same idea, you know, where the grief comes back. And so I think, especially for the loss of a child, I think that's one of the more difficult deaths for people to have to get over. And again, you never get over it. The hole in your heart just isn't bleeding quite as much.
Yeah, I think that's true.
You know, because you have that emptiness and it just can't ever be replaced with anything else.
I tell you, the hour is going by fast today. We've only got 14 minutes left. It's a good conversation.
It is.
It's fascinating. And I know people are out there listening. But if you do want to call, we do have 14 minutes left. You can certainly do that. 740-383-9944. The guest is Psychic Barbara Wagner. Talk about anything. Contact with somebody who's no longer here, who's maybe left us. Love life popular. Future. Anything of interest for about 13 more minutes.
So I did have three women come to me in the parking lot, three souls who have passed over. And so for anybody listening, this might belong to you or somebody else. and it wasn't a long conversation or anything, but I asked why they were appearing together, and it was really unique. And so I just want to share it with our viewers in case it resonates with somebody. And so they said, two sisters, one cousin. And I said, okay, I'm still kind of not, what do you mean by that? And then they went a little further and said, it was like there were two sisters, one got married and to this man, and the cousin married the man's brother. And so then they became sister-in-law. So that it's actually three sisters, quote unquote. It's like my own grandpa thing, right?
Yeah.
So two sisters and a cousin. It's very unique. Very unique.
Two sisters and a cousin. And the cousin married
the sister's brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law.
So then they became sisters-in-law. Okay, so the one sister married a man who had a brother, and
right.
the cousin married the other brother, and so then they became sister-in-laws in that one family. Does that make sense?
It's
very unique.
That's interesting. So do they have a message?
Let me see if I can tune into them again. So the older sister, hang on. It's appearing that the older sister went first, and then the other two after that. Like, there was some time in between.
We're getting a phone call.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Are you there, caller?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello?
I just was calling in about the psychic.
Hi.
Go ahead.
What's your name?
Julie.
Hi, Julie. How can I help you?
I don't know if I have a specific question, just whatever about my future.
Okay, you want to know about your future. All right, so let me tune into your spirit guide and your angel for just a second. So your spirit guide is telling me that you are not being heard. So I don't know if you are talking to people in your life and they're not listening to you. But it's almost like he's beating a drum and bashing cymbals together, like, listen, I've got things to say and they're important and I need you to hear me, and it's not being heard. So let me tune into what your angel has to say, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So
this isn't really about your future. They're not going there. She's talking more about how there's a depth to you that other people don't appreciate. And so it's almost like I feel like you have some intuitive abilities to where you try to say things to people like, that's not a good idea, and you know, that won't work out if you try that, or maybe you should try this, this is really good for you, and they just don't listen to you, and then later on you're like, yeah, I knew that would happen. Is that what's going on for you, Julie?
Because
they're showing me, yeah, they're showing me that you have a real depth to you, and I don't know if you've ever wanted to explore, you know, the deeper meanings in life or not, but it's a way to become educated about different things that are out there, and it sometimes challenges our beliefs in a really good way, and it allows us to reaffirm what we believe, not destroy. So if you decide you want to do some exploration on some deep topics, don't be afraid of that. It's not going to change who you are fundamentally, but it just gives you a broader perspective, if that makes sense. So it gives you a wider foundation to operate from, to help you even make better choices in life. And hang on just a second, because they're, okay. They're telling me you recently had to let a relationship go. Do you understand that?
Maybe.
Yeah, they're showing like trying to release a relationship, you know, where it was like you were either really good pals with somebody, or, I mean, it could have been romantic, but it didn't feel like that with me. And for some reason, you know, you had to release your hand, and, you know, they're walking a slightly different path than you now. But ultimately, that's a good thing. So right now, it might not feel that way, but just stick with it, because you'll see in the end it was the right thing to do.
Okay.
So I'm sorry I'm not seeing anything for your future, but they want to reaffirm for you, you know, that it's okay if you want to start digging into some things. Ask, if you feel better about it, ask your angels to put things in your path that will be good for you.
Okay.
All right.
And what is your name?
I'm Barbara Wagner.
Barbara Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
And do you do, like, private readings?
I do.
Someplace?
I do. You can find me. You can Google me. If you Google Psychic Barbara Wagner or Psychics Near Me, I usually come up because I'm in Delaware.
Delaware. Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
Bye-bye.
And again, the telephone number is 740-383-9944. If you have a question for Barbara, we have about 7 minutes left. 740-383-9944. Any question you would like to ask? And again, if the phone was ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, but the lines are open now, 740-383-9944. A lot of people curious about the future.
Right, right. And the two sisters and the cousin just told me that the reason they made an appearance is because some people are questioning whether or not people really go to heaven. And so whoever they're attached to, if they sound familiar to you in some way, they're just wanting people to know that it's everything's fine, they're fine, it's all good.
Go ahead, caller.
I was calling in for the psychic.
Go right ahead.
Hi, your name, please?
Reggie.
Hi, Reggie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How can I help you today?
I don't know. I was just calling in about maybe anyone trying to contact me, my future, whatever.
Okay, so we don't have a lot of time left. Give me the person's name that's in spirit that you want to hear from.
Richard.
Richard, okay. We'll see if Richard wants to make an appearance and what he has to say. Before I give you that message, though, your spirit guide wants you to stop looking backwards. And usually what that means is that we're focusing on so many things that happened to us in our past that we're having a hard time moving forward. And so what we were speaking about earlier in the show, I don't know if you were listening or not, was about releasing things. Instead of trying to forgive, just release them and just realize that was just part of your past and now you're in the future and you're moving on. And so I think your spirit guide wants you to have that reinforced for you so that you have a life you can look forward to instead of trying to replay the past, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so let me see if Richard has anything to say. He's showing me outdoor backyard games. So like jarts and cornhole and different things like that. So if that was something that he did with the family or you guys enjoyed together, he's just showing me that as a fun thing that he enjoyed when he was alive. Does that make sense to you? Hello?
I mean, we played games, but not those.
Not outside? Okay. But he is showing me outdoor games. So I just want to reiterate that in case he ever did. And that might have been something he did when he was younger, too, right?
Yeah.
He might have done some things in the backyard that were fun. Let me see what else he has for you. So he's showing me counting in even numbers, 2, 4, 6, 8. And that can mean a lot of things because I'm not interpreting or asking more questions regarding that. But he's highlighting even numbers. And so when they do that, it could be certain events happen in even numbered months, you know, birthdays, deaths, you know, anniversaries, things like that. But he's just counting 2, 4, 6, 8, and he's saying it over and over and over and over again. When we were kids, it was 2, 4, 6, 8, who do you appreciate? You know, and you used to say that if there was somebody that you liked or you were cheering somebody on, you know. And so that could have even been something that he said to family members. Let me see what else he has. He just said namesake. Is somebody named after him or was he named after someone?
No.
Okay. So you might find that out down the road. You know, it might even been his middle name or something, is because he just keeps saying namesake over and over and over and over. So it does apply somewhere. I'm not sure where. Let me see what else he has. This is weird. I'm kind of feeling like he died of natural causes, but he's also taking responsibility for his death. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
So it's almost like maybe he didn't eat good food or he smoked a lot or something, and then eventually, you know, that caused him just to have a heart attack and die or something. It's along those lines where he's saying, you know, nobody's to blame. It's just the way life was lived, and this is kind of what happened.
Right.
Okay, so he's not going into specifics about his death, but he's making me feel like it was a natural one.
Okay.
And there's a female that is still heavily grieving for him. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So let me see what he has to say for that person. So, you know, he's saying, if you're going to cry for me, cry happy tears for the times we had together and the happy memories that you have, because there are some. But he wants her to pick her head up. He says it's depressed crying. And so he's fine with happy tears. He's not fine with depressed tears. He wants her to get it together. And he's saying it nicely and lovingly. For the benefit of the time we have left on the program, I'm just trying to process quickly here, but so it's a loving message, but he wants her to find ways to express that grief in a more happy way, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Well, thank you for calling, Reggie.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
You too.
And again, Barbara comes every Wednesday. It's always a lot of fun. Wednesday, 12:15 to 1 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. And the questions are always on the table. Today, a lot about the future.
Right.
People who are no longer here. Anything that can be asked shall be.
Right.
It's always fun, Barbara.
Thank you.
And remember, if you didn't get in today, next Wednesday, 12:15 to 1 p.m., we'll be back in about 10 minutes. Stay tuned.
He ends up being in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
One of the big traditions for a lot of people on Thanksgiving is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yes, absolutely. And I was in it one year. I played Mother Goose.
Did you?
Yes.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, there was nothing to tell. I was dressed up like Mother Goose, and I was in this thing. And I must say, I had a secret little flask, because it was colder than a bear's ears. And I had a little nip of some good warm stuff occasionally. So I was a very happy Mother Goose by the end of the trip.
Oh.
There, that's a secret let out.
Oh, my. That's a great story. So Mother Goose
was... Isn't that lovely?
Mother Goose had a few nips.
Oh, what fun it was. And the joy of the children and their parents and their brothers and their sisters along the route, just waving and having such a good time celebrating.
WWGH Radio on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Programming.